Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I read Romans, sometimes I wonder, the writer Paul, if he was a little crazy. I mean, really, if you read this, some of the things that are required of Christians should make us go screaming out the door. I can deal with the Ten Commandments. You know, they're pretty basic. You got to do right things. You can't kill. That's bad. Even society says that bad. You'll go to jail if you kill. You can't steal. It's bad. I can get that. But the law that comes through the gospel is even higher than the Old Testament laws. Did you listen as we read some of the laundry list of what a Christian is supposed to do? First of all, we're to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Yeah, that's top on my list. Then we're supposed to transform our minds, be different than everybody else. We're supposed to not think too highly of ourselves. We're not to have an inflated ego, and I know I don't have that. I'm fine with that. My son just coughed loudly. And we're to outdo one another with mutual affection. We're supposed to be so kind to each other that if someone's kind to us, we have to do it double. And the worst one is we're not just to be kind to people who are mean to us. We're to overcome evil with good. We're supposed to get the best of evil. Now, that's a very tall order, and it's very difficult. And I want to talk about how we can do that today. And I have an example of someone whom I knew some years ago who was an exemplary Christian. And he happened to be the husband of one of the ladies here. So Miss Ellery, I'm sorry, but I'm throwing Miss Ellery under the bus. Miss Ellery was a member of my church in Maryland. She knew me when I was a whole lot younger. I came to the church at 36 years old, and she did confess that when she met me, she didn't like me. But fortunately, her dear husband Clarence did. And Clarence and I became very close friends, and he had an understanding of church. He loved the church. He loved everything about the church. He not only was married to Ellery, they had 6 grown children. And whenever I needed something, I would call Clarence up, and I'd say, Brother Clarence, I have a need. Whether it was Sunday school teaching or leading music or whatever it was, I'd call Clarence. And Clarence would always say to me, don't worry, Pastor, I have it covered. Now, Clarence was not in good health. He had limited energy, but he had 6 kids and a wife. And invariably, the next day, a grumpy Gums would be sitting there saying, what do you need? And it would be either one of the children or Ellery herself. And I had said that Ellery knows the story. I told her I wasn't guilty. I did not feel 1 ounce of remorse for doing that because some work had to be done in the church, and I knew Clarence was good enough to get his family spurred on. But I never really understood why there was such instant obedience from the 6 kids and the wife, because Clarence was a very easygoing guy. He was not a taskmaster. He was not one of these who ordered people around. How did he get grown children to do his bidding? And then I found out why, and I actually found it out at his funeral service. The kids said, wherever we were, if we were not living home, wherever we were, every single day, Daddy called. He would call their name every single day. If he couldn't get them, he'd leave a message. But he wanted them to know how much he loved them. They also said that they would go by his room sometimes and see him on his knees praying in tears. And more than one said, Ellery, I think it was because of me that Daddy was crying. But then I thought of the picture of God in that. Why do we do what we do? It's because every morning of every day, God calls our name. He calls it individually. When I open my eyes in the morning, it's because God has called my name to live another day in the light. God loves us. Just like Clarence loved his children so much, God loves all of us. And that's the reason we do what we do. We are constrained by love. And we know that God pours his love out to us so we can outdo each other in mutual affection. We can overcome evil with good. We can work to transform our perspective and our minds because we are constrained by love. You look at the congregation today. Ephraim Moravian and Spirit of Peace Lutheran have very little in common. I have to apologize to Spirit of Peace Lutheran because we live in paradise. And they don't. They live in Milwaukee. But we are constrained by love to help our brothers and sisters out in Milwaukee. The people at Spirit of Peace had a very rough go. They had some real financial issues, and all these members at Spirit of Peace could have easily left that church and gone elsewhere. They would have been welcomed in with open arms, but the neighborhood said, "We need you here." And so they struggled and said, "We are going to stay in the neighborhood." And their motto is, "In the city for good." Why do they do that? Because they're constrained by the love of God. Because the Father called them, and now they're out there calling others. Why would a choir come thousands of miles from their home to Wisconsin, where they're complaining to me that it's cold, to do a concert for a church that's not even their denomination? Because we're constrained by love, because God picked us up this morning and called us. And so we're outdoing each other in mutual love and affection. That's how we can carry on the claims of the gospel. Because God so loved us that we can love others. So when I read things like this and I say, how can I do it? I remember I am a beloved child of God. And his love constrains me. And even when I don't like what I read, I can follow Jesus. I can follow what he says because he's calling me as his kid to do his will in this world. And I hope that this week, love will constrain all of us here to reach out, to outdo someone, and if someone has done us harm, to overcome them with good. Let us pray. Lord, we're so grateful that your love was poured out for us, that every morning when we get up, you have called our name to walk in the light. And we ask that you would help us to walk in the light this week. In Jesus' name, amen.